We're a church without walls. Like, anyone can do heavy music and come. Punk rock, hardcore, metal. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what music you listen to. You can just come and be yourself and express yourself while being yourself without anyone looking down on you. And we've been in church for 3 years now, and it's been really cool to be here this weekend. You're probably wondering, who the hell am I? So, my name is Rob, as I said. I'm originally from America, from New Jersey. I'm 25 years old. I grew up listening to heavy music and stuff, and I went to church every Sunday with my parents. You know, people gave me that evil eye, that bad look, that people look down at you. You know, some of us may been through. And people told me that my music was evil or whatever. And I was like kicked out of youth group one time because my clothes was too dark, or because my music was different from them. They didn't know any better, you know. And so I became like really depressed. I became really sad, and I thought about suicide a lot because, you know, I was being rejected in church by my own people, you know, who I thought they understood me, but they did not understand me at all. And as a result, I became really confused, and I just wondered what was the meaning of life. But one day I found my friends, and they came up to me and just, they accepted me for who I was, and they loved me who I was, and that I didn't have to change, because they showed me how God loves me the way who I am, and how God looks at the heart and not at what we do, or not what clothes we wear, what music we like, or whatever. It's about where your heart is at. And today, that's what it's about lifestyle prayer. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing things. It's just about having a relationship with Jesus. It is who we are. It is. So we'll be talking about prayer today. You know, every day, you know, we brush our teeth every day, right? Did anyone not brush their teeth today? Brush them. All right. Okay, alright, just like every day we just, you know, we brush our teeth without thinking twice about it, you know what I mean? It's like we don't go outside the door without brushing our teeth. Even if we're running late for work or going late for school. Can you open this? You know, we don't, even when we're running late, we just don't go out the door without doing certain things every day, you know? But it also, there are people, like, in the Middle East, that are like, they're Muslims, and they, like, pray, like, 5 times a day. No matter how busy they are, and they They make it a priority to pray every day, 5 times a day. And yet, for myself, sometimes I find I struggle that I do pray or talk to God every day. But yet, I brush my teeth every day. You know what I mean? Like I said, being a follower of Jesus is about a relationship. You know, a relationship depends on how well do we know our friend, our person, or whatever. And I just want to check out Luke 19, verse 45 through 48. This is where Jesus was at the temple. Then Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, Jesus said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day Jesus was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on to Jesus' words. You know, here was Jesus. He went into the temple and he found people making the temple into a marketplace. They were making it into everything that it should not be. They were making it into a place where anything happens except prayer, you know. So oftentimes, you know, the Bible says our hearts are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where God lives in us. You know, do we have a heart to pray? Or we go to church a lot, you know. We call church a house of fellowship or worship or house of worship or whatever we want it to be, but we don't make it into a house of prayer. You know, Jesus calls us to a house of prayer. And so our hearts, do we have a heart to pray? Is Jesus living in us? Is God's temple in us? And do we make room for Jesus in our hearts? You know, I find it ironic that that the word mosque means a house of prayer, and they pray 5 times a day. It's really something to be admired, something to respect them for, you know. And yet we, for one reason or another, I think we forgotten what it was meant to be, a house of prayer. It's all about a relationship with Jesus, nothing else. We have activities, programs, and stuff we can go to, but we miss the essence. Okay, check out Matthew chapter 6. In here, Jesus was teaching people how to pray. Everyone there? Cool. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father, who is in secret, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, Jesus says here that we don't pray to be seen. We don't pray to show off, you know, we just pray because we want to hang out with Jesus. And we don't use words, keep on talking like we know it all. We just about being yourself, being honest before God. Besides, God already knows our hearts and He wants us to be real with Him. And if we can't be real with each other, if we can't be real with God, what kind of friendship do we have? And Jesus also says, when we pray, we go into the secret place, the closet, to go and pray. We don't pray to be seen, like I said. You know, when we hang out with friends and we try to talk to someone, like last night at Ball Fest, at the concert, when we try to talk to someone, there's like a group of people all around us, and it's harder to talk to someone, harder to have a conversation with people because you're distracted by so many people. But when you go away with a friend and you just talk one-on-one, it's easier to talk to someone, whatever that place may be. Even Jesus, He had to spend time alone with God. He had to withdraw Himself from the crowd to pray with God. In Mark, it reads, in Mark chapter 1, 35-37, it tells us that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a quiet place where He prayed. Simon and all his friends, his disciples, went out to look for Jesus, and when they had found Him, they exclaimed, "Everybody's looking for you! Where are you? Where you been?" You know? We make excuses why we have a hard time praying, or because of a job or band we playing. We're hanging out with friends, so much things to do. We make a hard time. We have a hard time. But you know, Jesus had a hard time as well. He was the man of the day. He was in the spotlight, and He was just like us. Even though He's God, but He's just like us. But no matter what, Jesus found a way and found a place to be alone with God on a daily basis. Our most important relationship is Jesus, and if we don't hang out with our friend or whatever, our relationship will suffer. If a husband and a wife, they never talk to each other, their relationship will break down. There'll be walls in their marriage. Their walls will build up, and it'd be harder for the marriage to work. And so communication is very important for a relationship to happen. You know, even though Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus was still in contact with the Father. He could only do God's will if He was in the Father, by staying in touch with Him. If Jesus spent time alone with the Father, how much more do we need to spend time with the Father, knowing what should we do in a situation with life? You know, I'm originally from New York, and people ask me, why did you move to London? And I couldn't tell you why, other than to work, than to be with my church. And I just knew that London was home for me because I took time to be with the Father. And I just, God, where do you want me to be? What's your direction for my life? And I prayed about it and I asked God about it. And it wasn't easy, but I had a peace in my heart, and I just knew that God wanted me to be in London, and I've been in London now for 4 years now. And I don't want to go back home, but London's home. And I would never have known London was home. I would never know what to do next if I'd never spent time with the Father, with God, and asked, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do next? I just want to check out Exodus chapter 33 verses 7 through 11. This is the story of Moses and the tent of meeting. Okay, reads. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. While the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Here we read that Moses had a prayer closet. He had a secret place, a tent of meeting. You know, Moses, he was being stressed out because he had to lead the people of Israel out of the wilderness. And Israel wasn't always the easiest people to deal with. They messed up so many times, and being a leader, he was flipping out. He was stressed out. And so he needed a place where he could escape. And so he had a tent of meeting where he would go and meet with God face to face and share with God what's on his heart. And just give God his cares, his burdens, his stress, his anxieties. A guy once said, when we enter the secret place, and right in the center of that secret place, you will find God. When we live in the secret place, it becomes impossible to doubt God. You know, the people of Israel, they got to see God do many miracles, like opening the sea, the plagues, moving out of Egypt and stuff. But, you know, Moses spent time alone with God. As a result, Moses got to know God's way. Moses got to know who God is in a real intimate way. The question I just want to ask ourselves today is, where do we go to be alone with God? Do we just make time to be alone with God? It doesn't matter how long we pray, it doesn't matter how short, it's about quality time. It may not be a set time, but just maybe a few minutes during the random few minutes during the day, just something random. Have we a relationship with Jesus, or do we just know him by name? You know, it's about having a lifestyle prayer. It's about having a disciplined life of prayer. Many of us, we think that discipline is a bad word, like, screw you, you're grounded, whatever. Go to your room, you know? But discipline is actually a good word. If we don't have discipline, we wouldn't be able to play the guitar well, you know? We wouldn't be able to do anything well. Discipline means practice. It means being really skilled, dedicated to doing it. Disciplined life of prayer, we'll see much results in our life. We'll grow, we'll get to know God more, we get to know his ways more, we get to know what God wants for us, we get answers. You know, because of that, the enemy, Satan, he would try anything to distract us from having a relationship with God, because he knows that relationship with God is the most important thing we could ever have. And he could distract us with girls, music, or whatever it may be. You know, like any issues, you know, like any relationships, issues will come up. Arguments will come up. You know, these issues and arguments will create walls in your relationship. And if the relationship is going to grow or work out, we need to deal with these issues in our life. We need to talk things through, keep on talking until these issues are dealt with, until we can finally say, yeah, it's over, we can forget about it and move on. And sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. It makes it harder for us to come closer to God. We need to ask God, talk to God, and God, help me here. I'm messed up, you know, I need your help. I'm struggling here, whatever. You know, just keep on talking with God, and we see those walls come down. You know, sin threatens the intimacy in our relationship with Jesus. You know, King David, he was a shepherd. He was a king of Israel. You know, he messed up so many times. You know, he cheated on his wife, and he had an affair. But yet, the Bible tells us he was a man after God's own heart. But why is that? Even though he messed up so many times, he continually dealt with the issues in his life. He continually talked to God. After one incident, in Psalm 51, we just want to read verses 10 through 12. When David messed up, he had this affair with a late girl who was married to another guy. David cried out to God, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, David, he continually sought to make things right with God. He hated the idea of being away from God. He hated the idea of distance, a long distance. He hated the idea of a long distance relationship. Long distance relationships never work out like 90% of the time. He hated to be away from God. So he continually sought to deal with the issue. You know, when we make time to hang out with Jesus, we are making time to be in his presence. You know, his presence is a feeling that we are not alone, that he is with us. You know, his love that closes closer than anyone else can. You know, his presence that touches us in the deepest place that no one else can. It's the place of intimacy where our hearts connect with God's heart. You know, many people just pray to God, asking for a need, like, God, can you please give me a new car, give me a job, give me lots of money, whatever. You know, how would we feel if we had a friend and our friend did was, can I have $5? Can I borrow your car? Every time they see you, they just ask you if they can have something from you, and they never got to know you. It would suck. It would be a one-sided relationship. You feel used or taken advantage of. You know, true friendship is simply enjoying to be with each other and being with each other and sharing your life together and expressing your love for your friend or for your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. All right. Okay, how to... Just gonna give some practical tips how to organize our time alone with Jesus. Number one, find a place where you will not be distracted, where you will not be interrupted. A quiet time means like a time out with no distractions, place where you can be by yourself and no one else around. Like when I pray, I usually pray late at night before I go to sleep. Even that may be a bad idea, fall asleep. But that's the time when I'm alone and nobody else is around. And that goes for the second point. To set aside a certain time of day which is best for us. You know, God deserves our best. He is the most important relationship we could ever have. You know, He deserves our best and not our leftovers. Not when we are too tired. Whatever. He is the most important relationship we could have. And also, keeping a balance in reading the Word and praying, talking to God. You know, God's Word is His love letter for us. He's always speaking to us in His Word, and we can find encouragement and hope while reading the Word. We could also seek opportunities to use what we have prayed for. Like if we're praying for a new job, we could go out and look for a job at the same time. Which I pray in all the time, and you do nothing about it. It's just, and God could be just lead you to the right place, the right job. It's about putting your faith into action. Like last week I just came back from New York, and I didn't have a place to live, and I just like, God, help me find a place to live. And London is a city of 10 million people, and it can be a very daunting challenge to find a place to live. And it's like, where do I begin to look? And so I began to look in newspapers, looking for a place to live. And I was praying about it. And 2 days later, I found a place to live in the coolest neighborhood. Okay. The benefits of being alone with Jesus. What can we get out of being alone with Jesus? You know, we get to know God, His God, who He is, His nature, His character, and His ways. We get to find out what He is like and what pleases Him, and what He does not like or whatever. Like in any friendship, we get to know more about our friend, who they are, what kind of music they're into, what music they hate. Number two, we grow in the understanding of His perfect love for us. The more we get to know God, the more amazing His love becomes. You know, I screwed up so many times, yet the more I know God, I'm just amazed that He loves me, just who I am. No strings attached. It's just really amazing. Like when we get to see Extol for the very first time, you see, wow, they're an amazing band. I saw them at Cornerstone 2000, my very first time I saw them. It was like, amazing, dude, amazing. I was blown away by it. But over the years, I get to know the guys in the band, and I find out they're even more amazing people. Because they're really so humble, and they're really laid back, and they become really even more amazing because there's more to them than the sound stage. Okay. Point number three. When we are alone, we can hear more clearly the voice of God. Like the prayer closet, we go alone, be alone with God. In a crowded room like last night at the concert, you could barely hear if your friend, what your friend is saying to you. Like, what did you say? Speak louder, what? You know? But if we just go outside for a few minutes, when we're alone, away from the band, away from the crowd, we get to understand our friends more. You know, every one of us has the ability to hear from God. Every one of us can hear from God. If we can talk to God, why not hear from God? Why not have a two-way conversation? You know, God can speak to us through people, ideas, vision, music, whatever it may be. He can use anything. You know, God does not just want to hear from us. He also wants to share His life with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. you know, at the Garden of Gethsemane on the night just before Jesus was crucified, Jesus went to be alone with God and talk to God what was on his heart. You know, Jesus just realized he was about to face the cross. And he did not like the idea one bit. You know, he cried out to God, "Take it away from me. I don't want to do this. Give this to someone else. Please, anyone, not me." But, you know, when he was alone with God, Jesus found the strength to face the cross. He found the peace, you know. He found that it was the Father's will for him to be doing. You know, we find friendship, strength, wisdom, help, encouragement, and love when we take the time to be alone with the Father. The time we spend alone with Jesus is the best thing we can do to our spiritual health, just like brushing our teeth every day can be the best thing we can do for our teeth. In London, about 2 years ago, I was riding the tube, the underground, the subway, whatever you want to call it. It was late at night, it's about 11:30 at night, and I was on the platform waiting to go home, and some guy saw me, and they saw that I had a mobile phone, and they asked me, "Let me see your mobile phone." And I was like, "No way, dude, no way, you don't need to see my mobile phone," or whatever. Then he just kept pushing me around, and then the train came, and I got on the train, and there was like three guys, and they started to surround me. They tried to push me around, threw me around the train, tried to beat me up, and they tried to grab my phone. I could have just gave up my phone, but I knew that I wasn't alone, that Jesus was with me. And so I just turned around, a guy who's about to jump on me from the back, I just like turned around and go, "Back off!" And he just dropped down, he just like backed off, like, "Whoa, chill out, dude." And I was like, and then he just threw everything down and he just ran away. I don't know what it was, but I know that God is with me always, no matter what. And because of my relationship with Jesus, you know, the intimacy I have, I know who God is. And He there for me, He's always with me. He's always a phone call away, if you wish. And He's with me no matter what. You know, as a result, the guys, they messed with the wrong guy. Alright. Some people are drawn to prayer, like, only when they have a need. Or other people are drawn to prayer just because they feel like praying or whatever. Imagine if we only have friends we see only when we have a need. Or you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you only see them when you want to, when you feel like it, and your girlfriend want to see you, but you don't feel like seeing her. And so what kind of relationship, it won't work, it's just gonna clash. we need to learn to, I needed to learn to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, to develop a prayer life. It is part of who we are. Prayer is part of who we are. We need to make it a part of our culture. To cultivate means to grow, to promote, intend, and to develop. You know, from an early age, we are taught to brush our teeth every day, no matter what, you know, it's what we do. So we need to grow and develop a relationship with Jesus and prayer life with Jesus. It is something that we do. It is who we are. It is an expression of who we are. We are a house of prayer. A people of prayer. A people who have a relationship with the living God. Praying for ourselves, our friends, and just simply hanging out with God. You know, we just need to commit ourselves to knowing God more and cultivating a lifestyle of prayer in our hearts. How well do we know our flatmate Jesus? You know, he's our best friend. He's part of our life for the rest of our lives. And how well do we know him? I just want to read one more scripture. Psalms 84, verses 1 through 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage, on a journey. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Okay, we're just going to take some time just to pray, just to hang out with God. Is that okay? Cool? Welcome. You know, a lifestyle of prayer. You know, this message is short, but I feel it's really important that, you know, we just spend time with God. Just hang out with God and just pray by yourself, or you can just pray with a few friends. And just hang out with God and find our prayer closet, the secret place where your heart connects with God's heart. You know, prayer is not about how often we pray. It's not about rules or legalism. Like, we must pray every day for an hour, 1 hour every day. It's about having a relationship. And relationship a real relationship. It's not based on rules or whatever. You just chill out. Just hang out with God.
Like a child, I'll run to you. Like a child, turn in circles around you. Come play with me, my like a child, I run to you. Like a child, turn in circles around you. Come play with me, my Father. I try to fight it off and on again. But you bring me back around again. And I try to fight it off and on again. But you bring me back. Like a child, I run to you. Like a child, turn in circles around you. Come play with me, my Father. Come play with me, my Father. And I try to fight it off and on again. But you bring me back around again. And I try to
Father, just come play with us, Father. Just thank you for your love for us. Just thank you we can come to you as children and just be ourselves. Come, Father, and just play with us. Come and hold our hand, Father. Come, Father. Let us love you, Father. We just want to love you, Father. We just want to know you more. Who you are. You're the most amazing person ever. Jesus, thank you for my friends here. Just thank you that we can have a great time this weekend. It's all about you. I just pray, Father, that you help us just to hang out with you more and just talk with you and be real with each other and be real with you and just be ourselves. And I thank you that you never leave us. You're always with us, Father. That you're holding our hand through every situation. That you walk with us in every situation. Not just fix us, but walk through us through every problem, through everything we may be going through. And then just pray that today we just help. Just be like a help. Just help my friends here. Just be a blessing to them. And today will be a start of something really special. Amen. Thank you.